give you thanks for the promise of your presence, not just here in this space or on an Easter Sunday, but throughout our days. And we know that you have been present with us in our time together. We know and trust that you will continue to be, and so we pray that you would continue to help us to be present with you. And so even if just for a moment you might help us to set aside the distractions from the things that we have to do, our to-do list or the week ahead, maybe the things that are happening around us, that we would hear your voice. And so we pray that you would speak to us. Open our hearts and our minds to those things that you would have for us, that your word might be fresh and new. And for some of us, we have heard this story countless times. And so we pray that you would speak to us in some new, fresh way this morning. And Lord, I ask that the words that I speak would not be mine, but yours. Amen. We're going to read, if you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 28. If not, you'll see the words on the screen. We're going to read Matthew's account of the experience that a couple individuals have as they went to the tomb. Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, I'm reading from the NIV this morning. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Tomb being where Jesus had been buried. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. Now, what's interesting in Mark's gospel, as the women are going to the tomb, they actually say to each other, ask each other, how are we going to move the stone? I mean, how are we going to deal with this giant rock that's in the way? I mean, it seems pretty easy to kind of look at our, and maybe apply some of those same questions to our own lives, right? Whatever that rock or that stone might be in your life, when you go, how am I going to deal with this thing in my life? How can this thing, this giant stone, how can it be moved in my life? We read of that in Mark's account. Matthew's account doesn't mention anything about the women dealing with the stone, because when they get there was an earthquake, there's an angel, and the stone is moved, and there the angel sits. Verse 3. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards, they were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just like he told you. Come and see the place where he was laying." Verse 7, they go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. And so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy. And they ran to tell the disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him. They clasped his feet, and they worshiped. And then Jesus said, as so often he does to many of us, and throughout the gospel accounts, the first thing Jesus says is, "Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." The journey of Lent and the footsteps of the past few days have brought us here to Easter Sunday. When this week began, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. He rode in, choosing to confront a system that had created the us's and the them's, the insiders and the outsiders. He made a deliberate choice to be the king who came riding lowly on a donkey to confront the way things had always been. Right? These are the very same footsteps that then brought Jesus to the cross on Good Friday. Now, it's important for us to realize or remember that Good Friday is good because of Easter Sunday. Without the empty tomb, then Good Friday would just have been another Friday in the life of the city of Jerusalem in a season of Passover and displays of Roman justice. Would have been just like any other Friday without the empty tomb. I mean, had Jesus not physically, historically risen from the dead, then really he would be nothing but a confused, crazy, nice guy. C.S. Lewis talks about that when he talks about Jesus saying he doesn't give us any room to allow him to just be a nice moral teacher. He's either a raving lunatic who claimed to be the Son of God, or he is, in fact, who he says he is. Good Friday is only good because of Easter Sunday. And because the tomb was empty, and because Jesus physically, historically rose from the dead, then we can, in fact, believe he is who he says he is. Not just some nice, good, moral teacher. Not just some kind of confused martyr. But in fact, the Son of God. Savior of the world. The empty tomb makes it apparent, I believe, that God can be trusted to show up. Now, maybe not always in ways we think, or as quickly as we might want him to. I mean, it's only just not that many hours previous to this Sunday morning when Jesus was, do you remember Jesus in the garden? Remember as Jesus is there and he even says, it's Matthew chapter 26 if you're taking notes. Jesus says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Have there been times when you can think of in your own life where you feel like you could echo those words of Jesus there in the garden? God, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, with hurt, with pain, with fill in the blank, to the point of death, Jesus says. And then just moments later, Jesus is praying, saying, God, if it is at all possible, may you take this cup from me. But not my will, but yours be done. Right? I think the empty tomb makes it apparent that we can trust that God's going to show up. Maybe not always as we think, maybe not as quickly as we want to, but even in the midst of the uncertainty or the fear. Do I think that Jesus was afraid there in that moment in the garden? I don't see why not if he was fully human. Do I think there was a sense of uncertainty as he said, God, my Father, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow. I believe that Jesus experienced the full range of human emotions, and the empty tomb reminds us, makes it so apparent that we can trust that God's going to show up, even when we have that sense of uncertainty or fear. I believe that the resurrection of Jesus shouts to us that we can, in fact, put our faith in the one who says he is the Messiah, the Son of God. I was thinking about Easter Sunday, and sometimes there's like a weird sort of like pressure that churches put on themselves or pastors put on themselves or maybe just me, you know, so I'm like thinking like, oh my gosh, if new people come, I've got to have the best sermon I've ever given in my life, right? Because otherwise you'll never come back. And so so as I'm wrestling through all these kind of some silly stuff sometimes that we do as humans, I was thinking about this word came to mind over the course of the last probably week or so, this word subvert. And as I was thinking about Jesus in particular, because I was thinking about Palm Sunday, which is really the word for me in Palm Sunday is confront. I see Jesus confronting things. And as I was thinking about Easter Sunday and was like, what am I going to talk about? Well, talk about Jesus being alive and, you know, the tomb being empty, which is important, right? Kind of defining thing for those of us who might call ourselves Christians. But I was thinking about this word subvert, and I couldn't help but think about the idea, maybe the fact even, that the empty tomb, I believe, is the ultimate act of subverting. Because the word, literally, to subvert, literally means to turn from underneath, to overturn or overthrow from the foundation. And so I started thinking about this idea of the empty tomb being the ultimate act of subverting. On Palm Sunday, Jesus confronted the way things had always been. On Good Friday, Jesus put his money where his mouth is, or rather, his love put him on the cross. And then I think on Easter Sunday, here Jesus kind of flips the whole thing. Right? Because none of that would have mattered. The whole riding into Jerusalem, the whole like, change the way this is, us and them, the whole Good Friday on the cross, none of that would have mattered without Easter Sunday. And the empty tomb becomes this act of subversion. The resurrection of Jesus subverted a whole system that was never satisfied. It put the responsibility on us. We had to do this and do that and say this and say that. And the empty tomb, Jesus took that upon himself and subverted that system and said, I've got this. And I think we need to be reminded by the empty tomb to stop trying to do it ourselves. I think the empty tomb should remind us that Jesus has subverted a system that was at one point kind of on us to figure out. And sometimes I think we still do that even today. And I think the empty tomb should remind us to stop trying to do it ourselves. That somehow to think that it's up to us to figure it out or to fix it or to take care of it, whatever that might be. As if somehow we can save ourselves. Jesus took that system, that idea, and just subverted the whole thing. I mean, how often have we tried other things, other people, to save, fix, heal ourselves only to be more broken? And Jesus overturned that way. The empty tomb reminds us of how Jesus subverted that idea. I think that through Jesus' resurrection, he not only subverted the idea that we have to do it ourselves or figure it out, but I believe that he also subverted the entire system of fear, shame, guilt, sin, and death. How often do these things so easily weigh us down? Right? Our messiness, life is messy, it's hard. Our brokenness, these things weigh us down. These things condemn us to death. Mentally, physically, emotionally, socially, spiritually. And these things have been overthrown from their very foundation through the empty tomb. So that no longer does fear, shame, guilt, regret, sin, death hold any weight over you or me. I believe that is the story of the empty tomb. I believe that is the story and the hope, the good news of Easter Sunday. Of a Savior who is who he says he is and is alive and well. And so my prayer for you and for me on this Easter Sunday, that you may hear the good news of the one who has subverted the old ways, that you might be made new, who has overthrown the chains of death so that you might know what it means to be free. Lord, we give you thanks for your Son, whose love for us kept him there on the cross in our place. And so we give you thanks for his obedience, for his faithfulness, for his willingness. We give you thanks for the ways in which he was willing to confront all of the barriers that created the insiders and the outsiders, and that he strived to tear those down. We thank you that because of his resurrection, his death, in fact, tore those barriers down, just as the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That his death and resurrection has overthrown the old ways of doing things. And so for that, we give you thanks. And we celebrate a risen Savior.